He knew that voice. Lando, over here. Yet another blaster joined the fray, only this one wasn't aimed at Luke. Bounty hunters fell. Regroup, somebody yelled. We're under attack. The confusion increased. Luke saw Lando stride through the smoke and smelly vapor, saw him fire with offhand precision, nailing several of the confused bounty hunters.
Like shooting snakes in a shoebox, Lando said.
He grinned.
You called for a cab?
Me? What makes you think I want to leave? I'm having fun here. Luke pivoted and chopped the barrel off an outthrust blaster. The weapon began to hiss and spew sparks, and the startled owner dropped it and fled.
Yeah, right you are. This way.
Lando led the way, blaster working. Luke followed, blocking shots from behind. They went through the ruptured wall and into the night. It wouldn't take long for the bounty hunters to pull themselves together. They had better get far away before that happened.
I've got a borrowed land speeder parked over there, Lando said.
He paused, fired at the building behind him.
What say we go for a ride?
Somebody in the ruptured wall yelled in surprise and pain as Lando's blaster bolt found him.
The Falcon is in the middle of a public park, 5 minutes away. I left 3PO watching it.
3PO? Where are Leia and Chewie?
That's a long story. Better we get back to the ship before I tell it.
How'd you know where to find me?
Dash gave me the planet. I got here and found out about the raid on the Bothan safe house. I know a few locals who owed me favors. They told me where these Yabos had set up shop.
Lando ducked. A blaster beam sizzled overhead, missed by a good 2 meters.
Can we go now and play Question the Quarren later?
Good idea. They ran. Behind them, the bounty hunters kept shooting. Zizor observed with a critical eye the lower branches of his 600-year-old miniature firethorn tree. The small plant had been a gift from a former rival seeking to make peace with Black Sun after a business disagreement. Less than half a meter high, the tiny tree was a nearly perfect replica of the 100-meter-tall firethorn trees that grew only in a single small grove of the Arugian rainforest on Abaji. The dwarf tree had been in the former rival's family for 10 generations and was, to one who knew the value of such things, most precious. Were his fortunes to evaporate and leave him completely broke, Zizor would still not sell this plant. Not if somebody offered him a decamillion credits. There were those who would offer that much and more. Little trees such as this had connected to them a great deal of history. He moved the tiny mechanical scissors in with great precision, centered the almost hair-fine branch between the blades, cut. Ah, perfect. That single cut was all the trimming needed this year. Perhaps next season, he would take off that obtuse angled branchlet on the next ascending branch. He had a year to think about it. He pulled the scissors away carefully, regarded the firethorn. Beautiful it was. Beautiful enough to excuse the mistakes of its former owner. The man had made errors in judgment, but this gift showed he was also a man of some taste and intelligence. Errors could be forgiven if there were other mitigating reasons. Zizor was, after all, a civilized being, not a reflexive thug. He would allow Princess Leia to find that out about him, just as he would allow her to find out other, more intimate things about him.
It's so good to see that you are all right, Master Luke.
Good to see you too, 3PO, Luke said. Lando hurried past them for the Falcon's cockpit.
Move it, Luke, Lando called back. Not only do we have the bounty hunters to worry about, there's an Imperial convoy heading this way. They've just dropped out of hyperspace and into the system.
Luke hurried. He reached the control seat and sat, strapped himself down.
Yeah? Anybody we know?
He was already reaching for pre-flight switches.
I didn't get close enough to read nameplates, but the lead ship is a Star Destroyer.
Victory class?
Bigger than that.
Imperial class? Try again.
Luke looked away from the controls at Lando, eyes going wide.
No.
Yep. Super class.
Is it Executor?
Like I said, I didn't get that close. But how many of those are there? They don't crank those babies up just for fun.
Luke stared into infinity. Was it Darth Vader? What would he be doing here?
Let's finish the flight check fast, Lando said. I don't think we want to stick around here.
I hear that. Wait, R2 is in my X-Wing.
I know, I spotted it. I've got a tractor beam with his name on it. I'll overfly the X-Wing and pull it up. We'll stow it in the hull clips.
Lando pointed at the control screen.
We're going to slingshot out of here and hit light speed fast. Even if it isn't Vader on that monster, we don't want to tangle with it.
Luke nodded and reached for the comm. Where are we going?
Back to Tatooine. That's where Leia wants us to go.
Where is she?
Let's talk about that later, okay?
Lando touched controls, listened as the ship's engines came online.
Better sit down back there, Goldie, Lando yelled. We are about to be gone.
25. 100 stormtroopers surrounded the building, blasters ready to cook anybody who twitched. Darth Vader stood in the darkness, staring at the breach that had been blown in the building's walls. Night insects hummed, and the air smelled of burned insulation. He didn't need to go inside to know that Luke was not there. If the boy was anywhere within 50 kilometers, he would certainly have felt him. These bounty hunters had captured him. Then they had bossed him. Vader was not pleased. The commander of the stormtroopers stood nervously nearby, waiting for a command. Vader gave him such. Bring me the highest-ranking survivor.
At once, my lord.
The commander waved, and a squad moved into the building. Shots were exchanged. Time passed. Two troopers emerged, dragging a man between them. They brought him to where Vader stood and released him. The prisoner tottered, but stayed on his feet.
Do you know who I am?
Yes, Lord Vader.
Good. Where is Skywalker?
He escaped.
Vader clenched his fist, and the man clawed at his throat.
I know he escaped, fool.
The man choked. His eyes grew wider. Vader waited for a few seconds, then opened his hand. The man gasped, sucked in air.
I was asleep, my lord. I awoke to blaster fire. I left my quarters and saw Skywalker in the hall. It didn't seem real. A dozen of us shot at him, and he waved that lightsaber back and forth and blocked the bolt.
Despite his anger, Vader was pleased. The boy's skill and power were increasing.
Continue.
More of our men arrived. We were sure to overcome him, but then the wall blew in. We were attacked. I couldn't tell how many there were. 15, maybe 20. We were outnumbered. When the fighting was over, Skywalker was gone.
Vader glanced up into space. And off planet two, he would wager. He would take his shuttle back to the Executor. Perhaps it was not too late to catch him. He glanced back at the bounty hunter.
I understand that someone else wanted Skywalker. Who?
I don't know, Lord Vader.
Vader raised his hand again, started to curl his fingers into a fist.
Wait, please. I don't know. We dealt with agents.
He looked at the bounty hunter, felt something more there.
You have a suspicion,
Vader said. Not a question.
Some of us heard rumors. I don't know if they are true.
Tell me.
We heard that it was Black Sun.
Vader stared at the man.
Of course. And this other bitter wanted Skywalker alive and well?
No, my lord. They wanted him dead.
Abruptly, he turned away, the prisoner forgotten.
Of course. He had unconsciously suspected it all along. Now that it was out, it made perfect sense.
Zizor wanted to thwart Vader in any manner he could. What better way than to kill his son and by the same act embarrass him in front of the Emperor?
Back to the shuttle,
he said to the commander.
What about this scum?
He waved at the building and the prisoner.
Leave them. They are worthless.
Vader was already walking away. The Falcon hung in high orbit about to slingshot away. R2 was safely on board, and Luke's X-Wing was clamped in place. Luke didn't trust the haphazard rig that flung the fighter on the larger vessel, but it kept it out of the way of the guns, and it should hold. He hoped. R2, I didn't think I would ever see you again, 3PO said.
R2 whistled at 3PO.
Yes, we have had our share of adventures as well. I must say I don't like all this business the least bit. Couldn't we find a nice, quiet planet and take a vacation? Someplace warm, with a deep pool of lube?
Luke grinned. R2 and 3PO were always amusing. Lando broke from orbit and headed out into interplanetary space.
How long before we can make the jump to hyperspace, Master Lando?
Couple of minutes, he replied. And how's this for a change of luck? There aren't even any Imperial vessels on our tail. About time something went our way.
Luke nodded. While waiting for Lando to bring the hyperdrive online, he said, How's Dash doing? He was pretty upset after we hit that freighter.
Not so good. Pretty depressed. He can't believe he actually failed at something. Had to happen sooner or later, but he isn't used to it.
Stuff like that goes on in war, Luke said. You get disappointed.
Like he had been with Dash.
Too bad.
Yeah, what was in the computer that was so important anyway?
Luke shrugged. I don't know. The Bothans had just broken it open when the bounty hunters hit the safe house.
Did the bounty hunters get the computer?
I don't think so. I don't think they even knew it was there. They were after me. Last I saw, one of the Bothan techs had the computer. I believe he escaped with it.
If he did, the Bothans will get it to the Alliance, Lando said. They're pretty dependable. I guess we'll find out what it was eventually.
Yeah.
Stand by for the jump to hyperspace.
Lando hit the control. Nothing happened. Luke turned to stare at him.
Oh, dear, 3PO said. There seems to be a problem.
It must be one of Han's modifications, Lando said. My people supposedly fixed this thing on Bespin. It's not my fault.
Fine. What do we do now?
Find a place to hide and fix it before we bump into the Imperial Navy.
That sounds like an excellent idea, 3PO said.
R2 whistled his agreement.
Guri led Leia and Chewie back into the underground. They walked for hours, turning and twisting into narrower and narrower corridors. Eventually, they came to a heavy, locked gate that Guri opened. She locked the gate behind them, and they moved into what looked like a small repulsor train station. A man waited there. He was short, squat, and bald, built like a freight handler from some heavy G-world. He wore gray coveralls and had a blaster strapped on his left hip. He smiled, revealing teeth he'd had done in what looked to be black chrome.
Guri said, Go with him.
Where are you going?
Not your business. Just do as you are told, and you will see Prince Zizor soon enough.
She turned and walked away without another word. The bald man came over to stand in front of Leia.
This way,
he said. Baldy led the way to a small motorized cart parked outside. There was barely enough room in it for the three of them. Fortunately, there was a convertible roof on the thing, so with the top down, Chewie could sit up without bumping his head. They drove into a tunnel halfway around the circle of shops. Baldy touched a control on the cart, and a heavy metal grate covering the mouth of the corridor slid into the ceiling. Inside, the tunnel was clean, well-lighted, no mold or graffiti on the walls, the floor free of dirt. They drove for a long time. They probably covered 10 or 12 kilometers. Finally, the tunnel opened out into a large chamber, in the middle of which sat a bullet car floating on magnetic repulsors over a single rail track. Wherever they were going, it must be a way off. Maglev cars could cover long distances in a hurry, 300-400 kilometers an hour, especially in a complete tunnel such as this one was. It didn't pay to get them up to speed for anything less than a fairly long run. Chewie and Leia followed Baldy into the car. When they were seated and strapped in, Baldy said, Go. The bullet car moved smoothly away from the chamber and into a dark tunnel. It picked up velocity fast. A row of small yellow service lamps ringed the tunnel every few hundred meters, and it wasn't long before the yellow circles seemed to be flashing over them continuously. Wherever they were going to get there pretty soon, even if it was halfway around the planet. Leia looked at Chewie and wished she could read his expressions better. He looked calm, calmer than she felt. She hoped she was doing the right thing,
So it was a little late to worry about that now, wasn't it?
"What's the problem?" Luke said. From the service well below him, Lando's reply was more than a bit irritated.
"The problem is that Han and Chewie have completely reset, rewired, and screwed up this whole ship. I'm looking at a serpent's nest of wires where there is supposed to be a pop-out circuit board. The schematics don't apply to anything here."
"Well, can you fix it?"
"I'm trying to fix it. Pass me that jumper bypass."
Luke picked up the JB, which looked like a bar with two sharp fingers making the V sign on one end. He had to lie on his belly to reach Lando. Lando submitted in a colorful fashion that Han's ancestry was in question and that his personal habits left much to be desired. Despite the danger of their situation, Luke grinned.
"Get R2 to peek over the edge. Maybe he knows what this blue wire is supposed to do."
R2 heard. He rolled to the lip of the service well, leaned forward, and peered down into it. Whistled and churred for a moment.
"Youch!" Lando yelled.
"Probably you'd better not touch that one."
"Now you tell me. What about this yellow one?"
R2 whistled.
It looked as if they were going to be there a while, Luke figured.
They had managed to find the remains of a small moon or maybe a large asteroid in a big parabolic orbit around the planet, and had nestled the Falcon in among the larger rocks and matched their velocity. From a distance, with most of its power shut down, the ship should be just another one of the cluster of big boulders. Not enough gravity here to clump them back together. They'd be a known hazard for ships and probably avoided. Even a super-class Star Destroyer didn't want a bunch of building-sized rocks smacking into its shields at speed. That would be a lot of kinetic energy to have to bleed off all at once. At least that was what Luke and Lando hoped.
"Pass me those needlehead pliers," Lando said.
Luke complied.